Old Testament reading is from Genesis 50, verses 15 to 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers their sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of God of your father." When the message came to him, Joseph wept. The brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them.
A reading from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 9, beginning at verse 14. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For Scripture says to Pharaoh, "I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power to you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. One of you will say to me, "Then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist his will?" But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, "Why did you make me like this?" Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use?
The world is dark. Still, let us not lose heart. Never. There's still someone who reigns, not just in Moscow or Washington or Beijing, but from above, from heaven. God is in command. That's why I am not afraid. Let us stay confident even in the darkest moments. Let us not allow our hope to sink, hope for all human beings, for all nations of the world. God does not let us fall, not a single one of us and not all of us together. Someone reigns. Well, these were reportedly the last words of Swiss theologian Karl Barth, spoken on the telephone to his good friend on the evening of the night before he died. The two friends were discussing the world situation. The world then was dark and a threatening place in which the powers of evil seemed to overwhelm goodness, particularly when looking at the global situation. Now, looking at our Old Testament reading from the book of Genesis, many commentators have pointed out that verse 20 of our Genesis reading in chapter 50 is a key verse in understanding the whole story of Jacob and his sons, particularly the story of Joseph. "You intended to do harm to me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." As the story unfolds, of the Bible unfolds, it is clear that this was not just the case back there with Joseph, but also throughout the Bible and probably throughout history. Now, that doesn't mean that human evil and error does not result in suffering. Of course, it does. And if we look across history, the unnecessary tears cried due to human malice, greed, and grandeur, due to human error and stupidity, they are countless. The beauty that has been destroyed by human hands is irreplaceable. And yet, through all this suffering, all this evil, God's purpose has come about, something good is being accomplished. Sometimes it costs a lot to see the good in the world amongst all the harm done. And yet sometimes the good shines so clearly that we are amazed and in wonder. There are times when we see God's hand, when it all suddenly makes sense. Of course, at times we may later question whether we had seen right, and doubt comes up. But if we take hold of those moments of clarity, then the world is no longer such a threatening place. It's my personal opinion that then we can see the world also as a more exciting place. That's why I'm so intensely interested in history. The hurt and drama is only too clear, and I often shake my head at all the destruction that humans have wrought. But there are also those moments of light, those moments that can give us hope that even today there is a future, that God's goodness holds back evil. I also think such a perspective allows us to look at history far more honestly, certainly more honestly than many other lenses. If we see history as a progress towards a far better humanity, we will be disappointed again and again, and we gloss over the many examples of goodness in the past here on earth. If we see history as just a struggle for power, the world seems a violent place with little hope. If we see history as the evolution of human organisms, then we devoid human life of all meaning. If we regard history as the outworking of economic forces, then we disregard most of the experience of human life. Therefore, seeing God's goodness in a fallen world brings color to the joys and sorrows, to the sleepless nights and restful evenings, to the long arch of history and the countless small events that no human can even perceive. I would say that God is still reigning, not controlling like a puppeteer controls puppets, but rather reigning by bringing goodness from destruction, hope amidst despondency, light in the darkness. The strange thing is that the Bible frequently affirms that God regularly uses people that intend harm to bring about God's purposes. There are the brothers of Joseph, the Pharaoh at the time of the Exodus, the Philistines at the time of David, the Babylonians at the time of the exile, Cyrus and other Persian kings at the return from exile, even Herod at the birth of the Messiah, and Pilate, who was involved in Jesus' death. We can possibly extend that list even to the Roman emperors who gave the early church martyrs, and possibly to Henry VIII, for example, who brought the Reformation to England. The list goes on, and sometimes the way in which tragedy is turned to good, in which evil plays its part in bringing about growth, that is confusing. I'll put it even more starkly. At times, we humans cannot distinguish the work of the devil from the work of God. And yet, at other times, the difference between good and evil is only too clear to see. In a world of darkness, God can use even evil to bring about something good. That is something to marvel and wonder at, to see with eyes of faith rather than confusion. What you intended for harm, God intended for good. That's still an insight into the world that can not only make this place exciting, but also hopeful. With thankfulness and expectation, we can look towards the God who we can never fathom, but in whose goodness we can always trust. Amen.